if you want anything, you have to go for it. And my mom is educated, went to college, but never worked for anyone a day in her life. She braided hair. She sold clothes. She did like lots of things around just getting herself to where she wanted to be. But I've always known my mom to hustle. I've never seen my mom sit back and say, okay, I can't do this, or ask anyone for anything. I've always known her to go out, hustle, and made sure that we were well taken care of. Whether it's my sister or my mom or my grandma, especially the women in my family, have all been go-getters or just always known to go for what they want. You're like a sweet wing.
Welcome to the Diving for Pearls podcast. I'm your host, Miss Gina P. Nelson. On this show, we will feature women in the UAE and across the globe who are breaking ground in their industry while at the same time transforming the cultural landscape. The women whom we will feature here on this podcast are in many ways analogous to pearl divers. Women who have taken calculated risks to uncover and harvest pearls of wisdom, insights that have led them to illuminate their pathway and the pathway of others. These women are thought leaders, innovators, visionaries, women who embody the spirit of the founding father of the UAE, His Highness Sheikh Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan. We invite you to listen in, take the plunge, reflect on the poignant stories of courage and resilience while delving deeper into your own journey of self-discovery and exploration. Pearls lie not on the seashore. If thou desirest one, thou must dive for it. Anonymous.
Welcome to the Diving for Pearls podcast. Good afternoon. We are honored today to have our first guest of 2021. She is Miss Marcia Fry. She's a UAE-based businesswoman, educator, entrepreneur, and self-confessed fashionista, who is British Jamaican. She is the founder of Out and About magazine, the region's first audiovisual magazine. This is a lifestyle magazine that features and celebrates real people. She's been featured in many numerous outlets across the UAE. Her partners include Fairmont Dubai, Fairmont the Palm, Kiza, Shakespeare and Company, and Amity University. She has been nominated for the Excellence in Business Award in 2020 at the Women's Leadership and Excellence Awards. And she's been working here and living here in the UAE since 2010. So without further ado, we would like to welcome Miss Marcia Fry.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. That's a really hearty welcome. Sounds like a lot. Sounds like it's not really me.
No, it's well deserved. First, I also want to thank a mutual friend of ours, Mr. Lennox Christie, for introducing us. So thank you, Lennox. A big shout out to you for introducing me to a phenomenal woman who's made many inroads here in the UAE since she's been living here. So thank you, Lennox.
Thank you, Lennox. We go such a far way as well. I remember sitting in science class in university with Lennox. So yeah. Thanks, Lennox.
Thank you. We'll be supporting your businesses this year. So, Marcia, I want to start, because obviously this is a new year, and it's a year of new beginnings for so many of us. I know many of us had challenges last year, and we do wish everyone continued success this year, and hope that this year is actually easier for you. And we hope 2021 brings a renewed sense of hope and optimism. And I know just before we started recording today, you mentioned that you did some work around a mindset challenge. So I want you to share with our listeners today any intentions you set for 2021, and if you could actually unpack this mindset challenge that you mentioned previously.
Okay, so I started 2021. So for New Year's Eve, what I did with my family is we sat down and we did vision boards, including my 8-year-old. I even got him to write down his goals for the year. And I kind of put my goals under different headings. So whether they're financial goals, whether they're health goals, like whatever goals they are, I put them under certain headings. And I think the major thing for me is not necessarily recovering from last year, but continuing to put in the work, because I have seen Out and About magazine grow so much, like in front of my own eyes. Sometimes I think, oh, is that really what I'm doing? So for me, it's just to make sure that I'm bringing the most impactful people that can actually make a difference to the readers. And we've started to do that. So in the next issue, we've got some phenomenal interviews coming up. And just around goals around health, to make sure that I'm staying fit and healthy, because without that, I'm not able to do anything else. And then I just came up with something really wild, because my thoughts do go crazy sometimes. So I thought of, all right, so this mindset challenge, a lot of people are going to take it in very different ways, but I'm not explaining too much. So I've just created a little poster that says Marsha Fry's $1 million challenge. And my aim for 2021 is to get 1 million people to donate $1 to me by the end of 2021. Now, lots of people are going to have lots of thought around this. But my whole idea is to get people's mindset maybe changed, or I already have people who said to me, oh, maybe you should reword it. And I'm like, nope, I will not. You will see it how you see it. The way you view things will make a huge difference. So I want you to take this and then go off and think about it. You can think about whether you want to give me the $1 or not, or you can just think about the message behind the mindset challenge, and that it's not so much about the $1, is it? Because how much is a dollar? And most of the people that are around me, they can afford a dollar. But most people are going to look at, oh, I'm not going to try and make her a millionaire. They're not going to focus on that $1 that they're given. The focus is going to shift straight away to, I'm not making someone a millionaire. So let's see. Let's see how it goes. I'll reveal a little bit more as the year goes on. My promise is to kind of keep my followers updated like twice a month to see how it's going. But yeah, it's interesting. And I'm giggling along the way as well.
Thank you. That is a very ambitious goal, but I like it. I like what you said about it being really, not necessarily about the money, but this notion of mindset. And I definitely want to get into mindset a little bit with you, because I know you have taught here and also have worked as an educator, as an administrator in some of the schools here. So I definitely want to get your thinking around mindset. But as you've mentioned, it is a nominal fee. A dollar is not much. Whether someone has that mindset to say, okay, I'm going to not necessarily help this person out, but help this person progress towards their goal. And I think it's a great challenge, and you definitely have to keep us posted, and we'll be following you as well on Out and About magazine to see how you're with this challenge. So I want to dig right into this idea of mindset. Both you and I have worked in education. I think you've been in education about 20 years, a little longer than I have, but most of my jobs actually have centered around education in some aspect or another. And you've talked in some of the podcasts you've been featured on about taking no as not yet. And we know there's been a lot of work around the growth mindset and the idea of not yet. And in fact, Carol Dweck, who is an American psychologist, who I'm sure you're familiar with her work on growth mindset, she talks about how educators can create these growth mindset classrooms. I want to actually ask you how in the past you've done it as an educator, create a growth mindset with your students and in the classroom. And why do you think it's so important?
You know what? It is absolutely important. I am big on entrepreneurship for one. And I try to teach my students that as well. So I'm a mathematics teacher, but I'm also qualified to teach science as well. And in my classroom, so right now I'm teaching robotics and I'm teaching digital design to girls who've never been exposed to anything like that. So imagine just walking into a robotics class, and right now we're doing Python coding. And they say, oh, miss, it's so hard. It's challenging. I can't do it. And I ask them, you know, how do you think you get some of the programs that you work with? How do you think they come about? And they'll say, oh, yeah, someone created them. And I'm like, okay, so if that someone had that same mindset of, I can't do it, it's too hard, do you think you'll be able to be using those programs? Oh, no, miss, I don't think so. So I said, that's where the challenge lies. So you chose this elective as robotics because you wanted to learn something different. And you know that's what's going to happen. It's going to be different. But did you come in with the mindset of it's going to be easy? Oh, I wasn't sure. And which is what they usually say. I wasn't sure what it's going to be about. It sounded cool. It sounded something like something that I'd love to do. And it sounded futuristic. So I always have to remind my current students, especially, that it's not going to be easy and we're going to build on things. What we're doing is preparing you for future work. So what you're doing now is not necessarily something you're going to be using right now. But if you want to continue on this journey and you want to be able to be that person who is marketable, you have to have these skills. And it's more about your mindset about what you're doing than the actual task, because you can do the task. And if you put your mind to it, you can do it, but you have to tell yourself that you want to do it. And even if you code, so when we're coding, sometimes it's not the first time you do it, you get an error. And that's because you probably didn't put in a quotation or you didn't put a bracket in or you didn't put the right type of bracket. So when that happens, what do? Do you just stop and say, okay, I'm not doing this anymore? Or do you try something else? Because sometimes it's that something else that's going to make the difference. And I try to encourage my girls, the same for digital design. We create websites. And I say, look at these fancy websites that you go on and you buy things. They don't just happen overnight. You have to try things. You have to go back and you have to edit things and you have to think about what the long-term goals are. So what do you want your website to look like? And that's why one of the things that I do with digital design is creating wireframes. So before we actually create a website, we'll create a wireframe of that website. So at the end, this is what I'm working towards. I might not have it right now. However, if I work towards it continuously, then I'll get to it or I'll get close to it. So I think it's of utmost importance for educators in whatever realm they are to focus on teaching children that it probably won't happen straight away, but if you continue to work at it, then it will definitely happen.
Agreed. There's so much in what you just mentioned. So some of the things I circled as you were talking, journey, self-belief of you can do it. Just going back to that idea of journey, we know that students who actually enjoy the process of learning tend to do better in school. And just going back to that notion of students who believe that their talents or skills can be developed over time through hard work and obviously putting in the effort, end up doing well much later in life. So when they have some kind of skill around navigating challenges and they're able to approach success differently than their other colleagues. So I agree with you. Very important to teach the power of not yet, because I definitely think it has long-lasting rewards, not only for students, but just implications for our educational system. So thank you for the work that you're doing there. And I do want to ask you one last question relating to education, because there's a notion that students want different things in different regions around the world. I know you've taught in the UK and you've also taught here. What would you say are some of the things that you're noticing in terms of similarities teaching in both regions?
The major thing is that children are children. And wherever we are, children are children. We're going to expect certain types of behaviors. So the difference probably is, you asked for similarities. So I think the major similarity is children are children, and it is about really teaching them how to learn, because a lot of children and adults don't know how to learn. So one of the major things that I've had to do with teaching in the UK is I have to teach my kids how to learn. I learned mathematics not because I had a great teacher at, say, secondary school. When I went to teacher's college, I had a fantastic mathematics teacher. And so a lot of what I learned in maths before then, I had to teach myself. So when I got into my classroom, I had to kind of tell my kids my story and say, you know what, a lot of what I know and the reason why I teach this particular way is because I had to learn it myself. So I had to really break it down. And it's just getting them to understand that learning is a process and you really have to learn how to learn. If you don't know how to learn, then you're not going to get very far, because with anything in that learning process, you really have to know what you're taking on. What does it take for me to learn this content? So for both situations, I've only taught in the UAE since August. All my other jobs have been admin jobs. And it's the same. I've just had to say to my girls, you know what? It's not hard and it's not easy, but what's your mindset around it? Do you want to do it? Do you want to grow? You know, how do you think you will learn this? You will learn it by trying. You'll learn it by failing. You'll learn by trying again. You'll learn by editing. And as you go along that journey, you know, you'll get it. And that's because you want to get it. And I think, yeah. Both here and in the UK, children are children. They want it to be now and easy and quick.
Quick, yes. You hit on several points. I haven't taught here, but I've been an educator here, and I've obviously visited a lot of the classrooms. And I agree with you in terms of some of the similarities. And it is powerful when you talk about teaching students how to learn. And I think if I knew what I know now when I was studying in high school, I would have been a lot more successful at, I would say, retaining a lot of the information and actually, more importantly, being able to apply it across many different fields. So teaching them how to learn is probably the key point. Going back to what I would believe, I would say, and some researchers have found that students pretty much, and adults, want the same things. So when it comes to intrinsic motivation and well-being, they're the same basic psychological needs that need to be met, whether you're a student or an adult. And I know there was a lot of work done in the 70s and 80s around this. Desi and Ryan, who were two famous psychologists in America, and they talked about autonomy, students having the option, and adults also having the option and free will to choose things, and then competence, feeling that you can actually achieve mastery in whatever task you are attempting, and then relatedness. We all want to be connected. So I find that kids want the same thing, regardless of where you're teaching, regardless of their social situation. I've found the same things that students really want from teachers go back to these three concepts of autonomy, competence, and relatedness. So we're not going to shift gears quite yet, but I do want to start talking about how you made your foray into fashion, because I know the Out and About Style magazine was actually a fashion label prior to you launching your magazine 3 years ago in February. I know that the idea was generated from your fashion label. So can you share with our listeners today how you started that fashion label, how you made, not necessarily transition, because I know you were also in education as well, but some of your, what prompted you to go into fashion, because you do declare yourself a self-confessed fashionista, and I myself love fashion as well. So if you could talk about the beginnings of your fashion label, and then how you came up with the idea to start the magazine.
The fashion label is a long journey, and Out and About Style itself is a very, very long journey. So I started with selling turbans. And those people who've known me for a long time here will know about crowns and capes. And that was just turbans and like short kimonos, like cover-ups and so on. So I used to go to Kuwait. And I remember I used to get on the flight on a Thursday evening, the 6 p.m. flight, Fly Dubai. I used to get to Kuwait and I used to head straight to the market. There are these guys, I had my tailors there. And it would be the most lovely experience ever. Not so lovely. I'd have one person fanning flies off me, another person bringing me tea, another person making sure that I'm okay. But anyway, I completely, really, really enjoyed that. But all that time, my aim was just to build up enough to get to the website and the brand Out and About Style. I love clothes. I wouldn't tell you that I spend a lot of money on clothes, especially now. I spend a very, very little. I've spent very little on clothes. However, most people will see me out a lot of times and they'll say, oh, where did you get that? That's so nice. And I always say I focus on, you know, how I wear things rather than what I wear. So I don't have to have the latest Prada bag and all of that jazz to look great. I don't believe you have to. You have a choice. And if that's how you want to spend your money, then that's fine. For me, I love fashion, but I just love putting different pieces together. And if I share, I think I probably have said this many times, almost everything I buy now, I buy in a sale. You probably won't know, but yeah. Almost every single thing I buy, it's on sale. And I pride myself in saying, you know what, that's fine. There's no issue with that. So the idea of Out and About Style came from starting with crowns and capes and then just not being able to find great clothes here at the time, great affordable clothes. So I thought, okay, so I can't find reasonably priced clothes. So why don't I add some clothes to the crowns and capes? And so I started to build that up. And the other part was like doing a lot of pop-ups. So every single weekend I would do pop-ups. I'd do pop-ups with Right Market, just different places, different markets around. And then I moved it online, just sourcing clothes from different places around the world, but just making sure that they're affordable. Because again, as I said, my mission always was buy something that's reasonable. I focus on the sale. So the price needs to be what I would pay in a sale. So yeah, that was where Out and About Style came in. I have paused it a little bit and we're working on a relaunch of Out and About Style because I still find that I still have the same issues. So with COVID last year, usually I would go to England, I would shop, and I'll shop for the year and I don't buy a lot of clothes here outside of when I run Out and About. So from Out and About Style, there was a huge conversation with two of my friends around, you know, how do we make this a little bit bigger and better? And my friend said to me, you know what, you had a blog. So I did have a blog, which I went around and I would see nicely dressed people. I'll take a picture of them. I would like tag, I would ask them questions, so and so. And I had that blog for a while. And my friend Lisa said to me, why don't you be your own advertisement? And I was like, she's like, oh, well, you're good at it. And you've always done it with the blog. So why don't you be your own advertisement? So the conversation went to, okay, well, if I'm going to be my own advertisement, it needs to be something bigger and better than just being my own advertisement. So I took that as I need to come up with an idea that allows me not only to advertise Out and About Style, but also to advertise lifestyle and to advertise people and to advertise their passions. And, you know, so that's where it all came from. So I remember leaving that conversation with Lisa and Richie that day. And I came home and I sat down and I said, okay, so this has to be impactful. And I wrote down, I still have my notebook. I wrote down like some different categories. I said, okay, this is going to be in the form of a magazine. I wrote down some categories, very much of a techie. So since then I thought, okay, well, it's not going to be a paper magazine. We print out every month. It has to be different. And I started coming up with some crazy ideas, which I thought were crazy at the time. But I do like crazy. So I whenever I come up with something crazy, I tend to go ahead and just, you know, see where it leads me. I'm going to go with it. So when I started, it was just quite basic. I think I had 50 or so pages in the first issue, but I knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted it to be around, you know, real people, real conversations, lifestyle tips, books, helping people, having conversations with people who are on the journey or people who have made it. And more than just that, than just the conversations and the learning, I wanted it to be different. So the whole audiovisual side of it, I have not even tapped into what I really want it to be yet. You know, as we go, and people who've been on the journey with Out and About magazine, I think they've also seen that change. And there's a lot more to come.
Thank you, Marcia. I don't think I was aware of your journey in the sense that you started selling turbans and kimonos and was actually traveling to Kuwait quite a bit to actually launch that business and sustain your business initially. So thank you for sharing that. I actually only recently became aware of your magazine, Out and About, through our friend Lennox. And I was hugely impressed, actually, not only from the content, but also the individuals you've actually featured, which are some big names. And as you mentioned, you really focus on individuals who are real and real people. So I want to ask you some questions around the brand, because you said you're putting that on pause, but you did mention to me that you are starting something called Yard Style that you started last year. So can you speak to our listeners about that?
So that's a very, very niche brand, Yard Style ME. I'm Jamaican, so that's my Jamaican side. This is something I've been thinking about for a while, and I know a lot of people were thinking about it. So when COVID hit last year, and usually I would go to the UK and I would get my Jamaican stuff and I'll bring them back. And I just thought, okay, so no one's going anywhere. You've had this idea for a while. So I literally started out, this is what I'm saying, with a whole even mindset challenge, I dare myself to do things. So what I did with Yard Style is that I created a poster. I gave it the name, I did the branding, I did the logo, I did it all myself, and I just put it out into the Jamaicans in the Middle East group. I had no idea how I'm getting these products, where I'm starting, or anything like that. I just decided, okay, all right, Marcia, you like to dare yourself, so let's just do this. And I put that poster out. And by putting that out, I said, okay, well, now you've put it out, now you've got to get started. Now you've got to get Jamaican products into the UAE, you've got to create a website for it, and you have to find customers, and you have to sell. So Yard Style focuses on bringing Caribbean products to the UAE, because there's a big Caribbean population here, and lots of people who have treats from their childhood, or just things that they like to eat that they don't have, you can't pick up in a shop here. So Yard Style provides all your Caribbean treats, foods that you like to eat right at your doorstep from yardstyleme.com. So it was a challenge for me to start with, but it is something I was thinking about before, but just never started.
My parents come from Guyana, so I do miss a lot of the foods and products from the Caribbean. So thank you to you for that. I do want to talk to you about your mindset, because you talk a lot about taking bold risks. I know can't is usually not in your vocabulary. You've spoken about individuals saying no to you, and you think of that as not yet. So how would you say self-talk on a daily basis? What is your self-talk like? And how do you think self-talk in general plays into one's success?
I think it is crucial. I laugh at myself a lot. I do laugh at myself a lot. And that's because, okay, so I'll tell you, even in my household, I have a certain time when someone will say something to me, and I'll say staff meeting, and everybody understands that, and they'll just go quiet. So when you hear staff meeting, what do you think? When I say, okay, staff meeting, I talk to myself so much that I've had to tell people around me that if I say staff meeting, I'm just having a meeting with myself. Because I'm talking through all the things that I need to do, all the things that I want to achieve. So if it's a particular day, everything that I need to get through on that day. So I think for me, it is absolutely important to the point where everybody around me knows staff meeting. Marsha is having a staff meeting with herself. And maybe don't get involved or don't say, oh, are you talking to me? So right now in my house, if I say staff meeting, everybody just goes quiet because they know I'm only talking to myself, even though I'm talking aloud. So I think it is crucial. It gets me through what I need to achieve on a daily basis. I do vocalize that. I do say it aloud. I think it makes a difference to me. I don't know for other people might think they're going crazy, which I don't think most people are, but I do self-talk a lot.
I like that. So Marsha, I have to ask you a question because you seem so driven and you seem to have this laser-like focus on your goals. Where can you attribute that to, or whom can you attribute that to? Is that from your background, your upbringing?
Definitely my upbringing. Definitely my hustler mentality, mom. I've known my mom, and I always have this conversation, and then I'll tell her after I come off this podcast, or she'll hear it and she'll be like, oh, Marsha, don't change. But my mom went through quite a lot in her early days. But one of the things I noticed and one of the things I picked up from my mom is, if you want anything, you have to go for it. And my mom is educated, went to college, but never worked for anyone a day in her life. So she went to college. I remember dressing up in her heels because she went to a specialist secretarial school and they wore these really nice uniforms and they had to wear heels to school every day. And as a kid, I remember my sister and I dressing up in my mom's heels. She would have one on and I would have the other one on. And she came out and she never ever worked. She never looked for a job. She braided hair, she sold clothes, she did like lots of things around just getting herself to where she wanted to be, to the point when she got to be able to, you know, open her own boutiques. But I've always known my mom to hustle. I've never seen my mom sit back and say, okay, I can't do this, or ask anyone for anything. I've always known her to go out, hustle, and made sure that we were well taken care of. We had a funny conversation last week with a couple of friends, Jamaican friends, and just some of the things I said as a child, my experience is this. And they were like, no, you must have been rich. And I'm like, no, I wasn't rich growing up. But my mom hustled and made sure that we didn't have any lack of anything. My dad did support, but in terms of being a hustler and making sure things were there, definitely, I'd say my mom would be the number one person. My dad was also a hustler, but my dad also had a full-time job. But I've never known my mom to have a full-time job ever in my 16 years of life.
That would explain a lot. Yeah, just teaching you those values of hard work, dedication, tenacity, commitment. As you mentioned, she was a hustler, so I can definitely understand it and see it and hear it when I listen to the many podcasts that you've been featured on. So are there any other women besides your mother who have been instrumental in your journey?
My grandmother, who may her soul rest in peace, who looked after me quite a bit. So I spent a lot of my time with my grandmother, who was very similar to my mom. I guess that's where my mom got it from. Very, very driven. I think the women in my family have all been sort of these go-getters. So I think any woman I can think of in my family, they've all been go-getters. We're not going to just sit back, you know, whatever it is that we want, we're going to go after it. And whether it's entrepreneurship or education or some kind of specialist degree, my sister is a lawyer. And I remember as a kid, she wanted to be a lawyer and she never stopped. She was like, that's what I'm doing. And kind of education wasn't my first choice. I decided after I started going to school for medicine. That's not what I wanted to do. So I cried, and my grandmother said, "You've got to go and get her." And my mom said, "No, that's what she said she wanted." And I cried. I cried for about a week, well, maybe about 2-3 weeks. And so my grandmother came and got me. And then my mom said, "Okay, so what are you going to do now?" And she was the one who said, "Okay, well, you don't know what you're going to do, so go to teacher's college." And I said, "Yes." Well, whereas with my sister, it was quite the opposite. My mom, when she finished, so she did her A-levels, and my mom said, "Okay, what are you going to do? You should go to teacher's college." And she said, "Why don't you go to teacher's college? I'm not going. I'm going to be a lawyer." And along that journey, she taught. She did other things, but she was hell-bent on, "I'm going to be a lawyer." So I always look at, and she's a little bit younger than I am, I always look at her and how entrepreneurship is not what she is passionate about. She's passionate about law, and she's passionate about, you know, just helping people. She's passionate about like particular bits of law as well. And she's always just going after that. That's what I want to do. So whether it's my sister or my mom or my grandma, or, you know, I've got older sisters as well, what people just, especially the women in my family, have all just always known to go for what they want.
That's wonderful to be surrounded by strong, ambitious women. I grew up with 8 brothers, so it's quite the opposite, but they've taught me a lot, of course, in terms of hard work and dedication and commitment and, you know, going after your goals. But it's wonderful when you have it coming from women in your family.
Yeah, I think we're mainly women. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And this is a show about women and inspiring women. So it's wonderful to hear that your grandmother, sister, mom had such an impactful role in your life. So thank you for sharing that. Marcia, you've talked about your entrepreneurial journey. We know entrepreneurship is not for everyone. What would you share have been some of your biggest challenges here, starting out your fashion brand and also the magazine? And what would be some of your advice for someone who's looking to take a similar journey?
I think my advice is just that. It's just not for everyone, because the work that you have to put in, you really have to be passionate about it. And passion only doesn't work. You have to be ready to put in the work. I'm telling you, with Out and About Style, I have dressed up. I've woken up on a Friday, on a Saturday, dressed up, gone to do a pop-up, sweated my butt off by the time we've only just set up. And then I have to be there for the whole day, looking pretty, saying nice things, then driving back home, preparing for the next day, preparing for the next thing that I have to do. The challenge of just getting through even one day, not being sure of how that day will go, is a challenge in itself. Entrepreneurship is definitely, definitely not a thing that you go in and you take lightly. And especially if that's the only thing that you're doing, it turns out into being this, okay, so I need to get food on my table. I need to look after my kids if that's the only thing that you're doing. So just imagine having to do that and not being sure of tomorrow's money and being able to, you know, look after what you need to look after. So I would say it's definitely not for everybody. Not everybody's mental space is there. So along the way, for me, it's been, I think I've just told myself that that's what I want to be doing full time in the long run. So whatever it takes, I think you have to have that mentality of doing whatever it takes as long as you're not breaking the law. Because you're going, the challenges, I can't begin to tell you about the challenges. They're different. Every single day, there's a different challenge. The website breaks down, the car breaks down, the items don't come on time, the interview there, someone you've interviewed the day before you're supposed to release the magazine, once something changed. The challenges are, there are many. The challenges, I think that's what makes it so cool for me, because I can look back and say, okay, you know what? That challenge I've managed to overcome. And that's what, and from that, I've learned so-and-so. I've learned so much more from the challenges than just the smooth sailing bits, because I now know, okay, that doesn't work, or Marsha, don't do that again. So that's what's really helped me, rather than, you know, the smooth sailing bits are nice and you get through them, but have I learned as much from them? No, I've learned a lot more from the challenges I've had.
You've hit on several points that I want to also speak about. What you mentioned in terms of entrepreneurship not being for everyone, because even with this podcast, starting this podcast, if it wasn't for COVID, honestly, I probably would have let this go or not been as aggressive figuring out alternate ways to actually make it happen. But that kind of accelerated everything in terms of having me reflect on the year and what I wanted to do. But it just goes back to what you talked about. Not, if you're not willing to put in the work, I definitely don't think entrepreneurship is for you, because it's a lot of long hours, a lot of work, and as you mentioned, a lot of challenges. So I want to ask you a question navigating those challenges. In general, what is your outlook in terms of managing change and uncertainty? Because we do live in the UAE, and we know, I know both you and I know, having lived here for more than 7 years, you being 10, that things shift and change so much and so frequently here. So how do you manage change and uncertainty?
You know what? Since I've been in the UAE, there are two key things that I've picked up. And the first one is as you like. And the second one is alhamdulillah. And I think since I've been here, I have been living on those things as you like. So, okay, that's not how you like it. Okay, you can have it as you like. And thank God for everything. I want to see the good in everything. Things are going to change. Things must change. I'm not in control of everything. However, I thank God for the situation, because whatever the situation is, it will work itself out. And my mindset is always, whatever it is, it will work itself out. It always does. I might like it or I might not like it, but it will work itself out. And I've had this conversation so many times with myself and with others that some of the things I'm not going to try to change, because things are going to change. So I'm not going to be bogged down in, oh my gosh, that change. And I'm just going to be stuck in that spot. Now that has changed. Now what next? You know, how am I going to fix this? What am I going to do next? How am I going to make this work in my favor? Things are going to change. How am I going to change with it? And this whole idea of with COVID, of pivoting. And if you've been of that mindset for a long time, then it's easier to pivot. Because the first thing you need to do before you pivot your business is to pivot your mindset. Things are going to change and you are going to have bumps in the road. Now what? How are you going to get past it? You can stay and you can cry in your bed, or you can think of ways of moving forward. And I choose to sometimes cry in my bed, but most times move forward, because I know things will work themselves out. And I kind of focus on, you know, thank God for this situation. Whatever it is, I know you don't give me more than I can bear. Now, how do I fix it? And how do I move forward? Because I know things always work themselves out.
That's actually a great way to approach things. You definitely have a positive outlook, which is definitely helpful. I think being in any environment, as you've mentioned, it's about pivoting your mindset. And if you do, it seems as if you've done a lot of inner work. So I do want to ask you, have you worked with a coach previously? Have you worked with the individual to work on what we call your inner self?
I have not. I found that I am that person that a lot of people come to just, you know, talk to or seek advice. And maybe it's just because of my mindset. I've never worked with a coach, but I do like to talk to people who are where I want to be. And one of the key things about Out and About magazine is the people I choose are people that I want to learn from as well. And a lot of them are people that are in the position that I want to be. So what best than go and find the people who are, they've been through that journey and they're where you want to be. Who's going to teach you better than those people? So that's kind of where I get my external coaching. And then the rest of it is just, you know, I think my upbringing, just my mindset as well. I do try to think of things in a more positive light, because I really do think there's no point in just wallowing in your own mess. You're just going to be there and depressed. I know it is a real issue, and I wouldn't even try to say everybody is like me, because I know everybody's not like me. But that's just my mindset. And the people who are not like me, who are in my friendship group, are always comfortable enough to come and say, okay, Marsha, this is what's happening. What do you think of this? Or how can I do this? And I'm always willing to kind of talk them through that situation, because I know for a fact that not everybody has the same mindset as I do. And if I have a skill, or I don't know if it's a skill that I have, or to help people through certain situations, then I'm always happy to do that. But I'm not a coach. Let me put that out there. I'm not a coach in any way, shape, or form.
But it seems as if you've done a lot of work yourself, obviously, inner work, and then you are able to help people reframe the situation so that things are more manageable. So it seems if you're on the right path. I want to ask you about, you know, obviously you've talked about the growth of the magazine, your growth as well. And you have a team of individuals who are working under you, or with you, I should say, not under you, with you, because I know you always talk about being in the kitchen, helping the cook. I know that's your take when you talk about individuals who are working on your team. So how help your team become the best version of themselves?
So one of the things I try to do, and especially with not just my team, but over the last summer, I had interns as well. And I try to make everybody around me see that everything's not going to be perfect, but we can work on making it as close to perfect as possible. And we don't blame each other. If you're working on something and you don't feel like it's going in the right direction, before you get to the end, come and say, Marsha, this is what I've got. What do you think about it? Do you think I'm going in the right direction? And I'm always happy to help. But if you're going to wait until the day before the deadline and then say, oh, I couldn't do it, blah, 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 then that's where we have an issue. So I developed this ethos of, we're all equal. Let's have a conversation. If something's not working, let me know early that it's not working out. If you're not able to do something, or if you don't feel like that's a task that's for you. Because one of the mistakes we make sometimes as leaders, you know, some people say it's if you're a manager, you're not able, you do this. But as leaders, sometimes we give people tasks that are not for them, that, you know, that's just not their area of work. And then we expect them to come out with these magical things. But unless I know we have to challenge people. It's important to challenge people. However, how much time do you want to spend when you know you've got 5 people in your team? You know you've got some people that are great at doing something and others that are great at doing something else. But all the time you tend to dish out the tasks everywhere around the place instead of focusing on what people are good at. I am a big believer in focusing on what people are good at and giving them challenges as well. So this is what you're good at. If you're good at video creation, we're going to focus on video creation and you getting to be the best video editor, creator in the world. We want to work on you becoming a writer as well. So we'll give you some pieces to write from time to time. We're not going to try to give you 50% writing and then 50% video editing, because that just doesn't make sense. We're not getting great video and great articles. We're getting so-so mediocre videos and mediocre articles. So I always try to work with my team on focusing on what you're good at. So if that's what you're good at, we work at that. We give you challenges here and there. And I'm always super open. So if there's something happening, come to me and say, this is what's happening, Marsha. Or, you know, I have this to do and it's not quite working out. Come and say that. And I think so far it's worked. I'm not sure what they say behind me. It doesn't matter, really. But so far, I've had the same team. My graphic designer is the same person I've had since day one. My junior editor, I think my first junior editor had to move. And that's why we kind of had to part ways because, you know, she was just going a different direction in her life with her family. And then after that, I've had the same junior editor since we started until now. We work great. So I think that's been my strategy. It's worked so far.
I like it a lot because they showed that companies that did well during COVID were individuals or companies where the leaders actually put people first over making any kind of profit and ahead of any business consideration. So the ones that focused on people and service rather than profit actually thrived during COVID. So this goes back to your notion of you talking about focusing on people, focusing on what they're good at, having those open conversations with them, and then aligning work that is close to their strengths. So you're leveraging their strengths to bring out the best in individuals. So you are definitely going in the right direction, for sure. I would think that would lead to, as you mentioned, you had a graphic designer who's been working since day one with you. So I would think higher employee engagement and satisfaction. I want to ask you, because you've talked about one more thing relating to the UAE being a place that really supports creativity and innovation. And you've stated that it is a place to venture out if you have an idea, a new opportunity that you want to embark on. There's so much here that hasn't been done. So how critical would you say the UAE has been to your success?
Absolutely critical. Very, very critical. I started my businesses here. So I can say the UAE has made me into who I am today. Before coming to the UAE, I didn't have any businesses. I had ideas, but I never started anything. So coming to the UAE, I was able to start things, work on things, get help, you know, find people. I found it easier here, and maybe it's because I'm in that space now mentally, but I found lots and lots of people that I can reach out to. And I know lots of people say, oh, but how did you find so-and-so and how did you find so-and-so? And I say, I stalk them because most people are willing to help. If it's even to have a conversation, most people are willing to have the conversation. You have to go out and find them wherever they are, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on LinkedIn, whether it's at an event, some sort of networking, whether it's an online conference, wherever they are. If you know who they are, or you don't have to know the specific person, but if you know the type of people that you want to find, you can go out and find them. So I'd say very, very crucial. As I mentioned before in some of the other things I've talked about, there are so many opportunities here. And things like Hub 71 that's just opened up, that's given startups such a great opportunity to start something in a great space and get support. There are just so many different opportunities now. And then even since COVID, with licensing being reduced, if you have an idea, there's no better time than now to get started. Because you're going to get things cheaper. So if it's even to say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to pay for this license. The minute you pay for that license, that money starts itching you and you think, oh, you know what? Okay, now I need to pull my finger out and I need to do something because now I've spent my money. So, you know, maybe even that's a way of tackling starting if that's what you want to do.
I do want to ask you, I know the UAE has been extremely supportive, even in terms of the Diving for Pearls podcast. Before I ask you the question, when we pitched this idea to the television station, RBC in Dubai, they're very keen on taking it on board. And unfortunately, just because of COVID and infrastructure, we weren't able to take it forward. So do you have a practice around coming up with ideas? For example, I keep an idea book. I would love to work or actually write in it every day, but I don't necessarily. But do you have practice around coming up with ideas, whether it's business?
I do. And even just two weeks ago, what I found is, since I've been in the entrepreneurial space and things, since I've put my mind in that space, I come up with a lot more ideas. I do write things down. So I do have a journal and I'll write down, you know, what I'm grateful for, and I'll write down ideas. I'll write down things that come to mind. But also, as soon as someone says, oh, I'm thinking about doing so-and-so, my mind goes wild. You know, I think of just all the different things that you could do from something that you might mention to me. So I think since I've been in this space, I've been able to come up with a lot more ideas. But I think, again, it is a mindset thing. So once you're in a certain space, because everybody has ideas, every single person. I've had someone say to me, I don't know what my talent is. I don't know what my passions are. And I said, because you've never been in that space where you've had to think about it, or you've wanted to think about it. So maybe first of all is, you know, get into that space and then you can think about things. Because the ideas I get now, I laugh at myself, because some of them in my head are crazy. I know they're not so crazy, but in my head, I'm like, Marsha, you are crazy. This staff meeting is just going in a different direction. But, you know, I do. I write things down. Some of them, I keep them in my head. This is why I see growth in what I do. Because I come up with one idea, and from that idea, I think, oh, you know what? This could work. And then once I do that, then that could work. So yes, again, it is definitely, definitely a mindset thing and just being in the right space.
That reminds me of something James Altucher, who is a hedge funder and also a podcaster. He talks about writing down your ideas daily, actually. He says it should be a practice. And he said it's like exercising a muscle. So the more you do it, the better you get at it. And of course, as you mentioned, some ideas won't be great, but you could continue to build on those ideas if you keep writing them down. And of course, acting on them is equally important. So Marsha, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I want to just ask you a couple more questions before we wrap up. What is the impact that you wish to have on women in the UAE and across the globe?
I want women to know that whatever you think of is possible if you want it. So if it's something that you want to do and you are convicted that that is what you want to do, it is possible. No matter how crazy it might sound when it comes to your mind, do something towards it. So I want to be seen as a person who not tried, but did. So I came up with an idea and I did something about it. So I want you to come up with an idea, do something about it. So whatever it is, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's education, whatever it is, the minute you come up with whatever it is, do something about it, because that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. Small steps and you will get there. I'm nowhere near where I want to be, but I know I'm getting there. I see every day along the journey, no matter how tough it gets, that I've made some steps forward and I am getting there.
That's great. And also, as March, we're approaching March, which is Women's History Month in many countries across the globe. I know you said you're not there yet, but what are you hoping is going to be your contribution to women's history?
I think just achieving success at my goals, really, you know, to see that, you know, women can, because we're still in a world where women are not necessarily treated equally. And in this region, Out and About will be one of the number one magazines and a woman will be heading it. And I have no doubt about that. So one of the things that I want to be like a legacy for my children and children's children is that you can do anything you set your mind to. And as I said, whatever that thing is, once you set your mind to it, you can achieve it. And whatever else, whatever other business ventures. So I have lots of plans for Yard Style. And some of those you will see play out in 2021. I have plans for other businesses and you will see those. I think my legacy has to be, if you want to achieve something, go for it. You are not necessarily, we are in a region where some people have more than others. However, one of the people that I, and when I go back to women, like women that I look up to, one of the first persons that I interviewed was Donna Benton, because I absolutely love her story. She came to the UAE with, I think she was $3,000 Australian. She didn't have a laptop. She didn't have a lot. She did have to ask some people. And I don't know if you know her story around The Entertainer and where she is now. So a lot of us know The Entertainer as the buy one, get one free vouchers. So it started, I remember when I just came here, it was The Entertainer, the book. Now you've got the application. And she started that from nothing. She started that as an idea. She was sitting, looking at all the restaurants on Sheikh Zayed Road in Dubai. And she thought, you know what? So many people go to restaurants here. What if I start a coupon system where people can go to restaurants and they buy something and they get something free? There are lots of other buy one, get one free options, but her idea of how she would do it was different. She was able to sell that business a couple years ago for millions. And that came from someone who started out at nothing, who started out with an idea, didn't come from a rich upbringing or anything. She started out with an idea and she did what she said she was going to do. So I think that's what I want my legacy to be. I did what I said I was going to do. So when you see my success, because that's my journey, then you see a journey of someone who did what they said they were going to do and managed to get to where they said they wanted to get to.
Thank you for being so inspirational. It's definitely going to help me take some action towards my goals and hopefully our listeners as well. And it just reminds me of that quote. I don't know who we could attribute this to, where it says, she came, she saw, she conquered.
Mm-hmm. 100%. She said she would and she did is my favorite.
I like that. So any last parting pearls of wisdom you want to share with our audience? And then also, Marcia, if you could tell us where we could find you on social media and learn more about you and your work, and as well as your upcoming projects.
Okay, so well, let's start there. So Out and About Magazine is Out and About Mag Official on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and on Facebook. If you are into Caribbean products, then you will find, oh, and that's the other thing we didn't talk about. You will find Caribbean products, food, mainly food at the moment, and you'll find that at yardstyleme.com. One big thing that I have working on at the moment is the Black Excellence Awards. And that's a gala and awards that's going to be happening on June 4th this year at the Sofitel, the Palm, Sofitel Dubai, the Palm. And that's a celebration around Black excellence in the region. It's the first of its kind. I've heard way more positive responses just around celebrating Black people in the region. And wherever you are in the GCC, if you find someone that you found inspirational, or just someone you think deserves to be recognized, you can go to blackexcellenceme.com. You can nominate that person. We still have nominations going on until February. Once that's done, then everybody will be put up for voting. And it is the most votes will win. Nobody can buy an award. We're not selling any awards. You will be voted for, and on the night, you will know the winner. So I'm really excited about that one. That's one of the big things we're doing. And my personal pages. So on LinkedIn, Marsha Fry, and on Instagram, The Marsha Fry. And do go and support my $1 million challenge as well. Let's see how far I get by December 31st, 2021. And I'll keep you updated along the way. And I think my parting words definitely are, it would be a Jamaican proverb. And it is one coco, full basket. And it literally means that success is a step-by-step journey. And if you want to achieve anything, then you start by taking the first step and then continue doing something towards it, and you will achieve success, whatever success looks like.
Thank you, Marsha. It's been so wonderful speaking to you. I will definitely be donating more than a dollar to help support you becoming a millionaire, but more importantly, helping you have impact on others' lives here in the UAE and across the globe. I want to thank you for taking your time today. Thank you to our listeners as well. We applaud you. We applaud you for your tenacity, your drive, your passion. And we'll definitely be attending the Black Excellence Awards for sure, and also supporting you and your journey here in the UAE. So thank you again, Marsha.
Thank you so much for having me. And I will be following your journey as well. So I do want you to touch base with me from time to time and tell me what you're doing and what you've added as well. So let me know how you're doing along your journey.
Definitely. Thank you for your support. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you very much for having me. You're like a sweet wings to fly. You're like a sweet wings. You're like a sweet wings to fly. You're like a sweet wings.
Music on this podcast is provided by Alexander Kirstish. The composition is titled Beautiful Spheres, which was released on April 3rd, 2019. Alexander Kirstish can be found on Facebook at Alexander Kirstish and on Instagram at Alexander Kirstish _official.